involving the war. Persuaded, Ellsberg began passing copies of the papers to Sheehan. The copies arrived in New York in several mailbags and were eventually stashed in my Manhattan apartment under the bed for safekeeping. They were then moved, suitcase by suitcase, to a makeshift editorial office set up in a suite in the Hilton Hotel. This was an essential first step. A crowded newsroom was no place for thousands of secret documents, and a leak was inevitable. Besides, our hotel hideaway allowed the editing staff to work all day and sleep in adjoining rooms at night. From the start, our team agreed it was up to us to prove the paper's legitimacy beyond doubt. It took weeks to spot-check hundreds of the documents against hundreds of stories already published. More than 20 books written by former government officials and laden with Vietnam references were checked against the documents to see if they matched. In every case, they did. It quickly became apparent that no one writer, even one as skilled as Neil Sheehan, could write the series alone. So Hedrick Smith, E.W. Ned Kenworthy, and Fox Butterfield, all veteran Vietnam reporters, were brought in. Two of the paper's best editors, Gerald Gold and Alan Siegel, plus the Times' chief librarian, Linda Amster, were recruited. Together, they made sure that every sentence written corresponded to a reference in one of the documents. Adding one's own reporting was unacceptable. The first installment of the Pentagon Papers was published in the Times on June 13, 1971, a Sunday. The article was displayed in the center of the front page. Inside were several pages of the actual documents reproduced verbatim. The next day, after the second installment was published, an angry Attorney General, John Mitchell, sent a telegram to the paper demanding that publication be stopped. It was, Mitchell contended, a threat to national security. The next day, the Times ran an article under the headline, "Mitchell seeks to halt series on Vietnam, but Times refuses." On Tuesday, after the paper had published three articles, federal judge Murray Gerfein slapped a restraining order on further publication. It was immediately clear that this issue would end up in the country's highest court, and so it did, swiftly. Left without an outside law firm, James Goodale, the head of the Times legal department, recruited Alexander Bickel, a Yale professor and one of the country's top constitutional experts, to represent the paper. Floyd Abrams, an up-and-coming First Amendment lawyer, was added to the team. On June 25th and 26th, 1971, the Supreme Court heard the government's argument that further publication of the papers would cause an irreparable harm to United States national interests. On June 30th, by a vote of 6-3, the court disagreed and upheld the Times' right to publish. And so the paper did, until the final installment on July 5, 1971. The articles revealed a mounting list of problems that the government faced and often fumbled as the Vietnam War nearly careened out of control. Decisions were clouded by Washington politics, President Johnson's own confused strategy, mixed signals from the battlefield, bad advice, and overconfidence, especially in evaluating an enemy's ability to absorb punishment and continue to fight with great ferocity. The war in Vietnam continued until April 30, 1975. By then, 58,000 Americans had been killed, more than 60% of them under the age of 21. And 300,000 were wounded, fighting in the jungles and hamlets and paddy fields of that Southeast Asian country. James L. Greenfield, September 20th, 2017. Introduction. For most of the past 20 years, directly or by proxy, the United States has been waging war in Indochina. 45,000 Americans have died in the fighting, 95,000 men of various nationalities in the former French colonial army, and no one knows how many Indochinese. The guesses run from 1 to 2 million. Only a very small number of men have known the inner story of how and why four succeeding administrations, those of Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Johnson, helped to maintain this